I want you to turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Genesis, and it is the chapter 43. Genesis chapter 43. And let's follow the reading of God's precious word as we open the scriptures together in this passage of God's infallible truth. That is Genesis chapter 43. And let's read some verses from God's word together. In verse number 15 of Genesis chapter 43, it says, verse number 15, "And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hands and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home, and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. The men were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. Came to pass that when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of a sack, our money in full weight. And we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, Peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him and the earth, and he asked them of their welfare, and said, Is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, Thy servant our father is in good health, he is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother, of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, Sit on bread. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves. Because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, of course, having been faced with the reality of the famine and also the cries of his children and his grandchildren, Jacob finally comes to the point of surrender. You remember Judah challenged his father concerning his responsibilities in verse number 8 of this chapter. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. And of course, that reality now, because of circumstances, has forced Jacob, who didn't want to yield, who did not want to give in, he was rebellious against the demand that was made, yet we find that finally he does give in. And Jacob had got so caught up with himself that actually he had forgot the needs of the rest of his family. And of course, that's a challenge for every parent and every one of us here today, because, you know, life can make us so caught up with ourselves that we can forget of what we're doing to others. And we can get so caught up with what we desire and what we want for ourselves and what we think is best for us, that even our own families, we miss the needs of our families. But thank God the victory was won. Look at verse number 11. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now. In other words, he was brought to the point, it must be so. There was nowhere else to turn. And sometimes, you know, God has to do that. God has got to bring us to the place where we're actually forced to go with him. God brings circumstances about where he makes us yield to his will and forces us to go with him. And so we find here, if it must be so now, do this. Take the best fruit in the land and your vessels and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts and almonds. And of course, take double of your money, and then take the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hands. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Now, the old man has, as you say, has wised up. And he wisely selects a number of gifts to appease the ruler down there in Egypt. Now, the interesting thing is this, that the gifts that he's talking about also is a replay of that day whenever Joseph was sold. Because in actual fact, you will find, go back to chapter 37. And in actual chapter 37, whenever the Ishmaelites came, what do we find there in Acts chapter, or Genesis 37, verse 25? It says this. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And of course, that's exactly what the father decides to bring down to Egypt, because this was not common in Egypt. And so 20 years before, whenever Joseph was sold, we find that these were the things that the Ishmaelites that were coming from Gilead down to Egypt were carrying with them. Those spices and the myrrh and also the balm, they were carrying it. And that was a part of the present. If you look in verse 11 of chapter 43, it says, the best fruit in the land were their vessels. Carry down to the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts and almonds. And so there is, in other words, a little replay once again. There's a rich tapestry of circumstances that, of course, is bringing them and forcing these brothers to the place of full repentance and, of course, to the place of forgiveness. Now we find here, we mentioned as we finished last Lord's Day, we have in the story the reckoning. Because Israel acknowledges in verse number 14, without God's help, then all their efforts are in vain. He said this in verse 14, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. He acknowledges that God's help is the one that's going to seal this. It's God Almighty that is going to give them mercy in the sight of this ruler down in Egypt. And remember, that was the covenant name of God. The covenant name of God. God Almighty. He was the God of Abram. And he was the God of Isaac. And he is also the God of Jacob. Because in chapter 35, in verse number 11, when God appeared unto him, it says in verse 11 of chapter 35, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. And so therefore, he is resting himself upon the God of his fathers, and the God of Israel, the covenant-keeping God, the God who fulfills his promise. And I want to say to you this morning, thank God that's where you can rest this morning. And that's where I can rest in days of trial and days of trouble. You and I can rest upon the promises of God, because God is a covenant-keeping God. God will fulfill his promises. And so therefore, he said, that may God Almighty give you mercy before this man. And what he did was this. He threw himself and he threw his family upon the sovereign God Almighty. of heaven, the covenant-keeping God, to the providence of God, and also to the will of God. And of course, you and I need to do likewise. Well, I don't know what is going to face us this week, but thank God you can throw yourself upon the covenant God of heaven, the God of promise, the God who is sovereign in all things, the God of providence, whose will is perfect. Now, verse number 15 says that the men, that is the brothers, took that present, and they took double money in their hands and Benjamin, and they rose up and they went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Can you imagine what must have been in Jacob's heart as he watched his sons leaving him? You can understand, listen, the last of his sons, because remember there was Simeon down there in Egypt, and so was Joseph in Egypt. He, of course, he didn't know that. But he knew Simeon was there, and he thought that Joseph was dead. And now he's sending his beloved Benjamin and the rest of his sons, and he's sending them down into the land of Egypt. But friend, listen, as I said last Lord's Day, he was putting all his eggs in one basket, but praise God, it was God's basket. He was trusting the Lord. But there was a human side of it. Let's be honest, there's a human side of it. And it's easy to tell people, you just trust the Lord for those difficult moments in your life, but friend, or those trials in your life, or even the sorrows in your life. But it's different whenever you're the one that's walking through it. And here's a father, and he watches all of his sons. There's not one son left with him now. And he watches them all leave, and they take the present, and they take the beloved Benjamin, and they make their way down into Egypt. Now, whilst it's true that that must have been a wrench in Jacob's heart, but can you imagine what was going through the brothers' minds? Because they were heading down to Egypt, and they didn't know. Remember the money that they'd found in their sack? It was as if they stole the grain, and they didn't know they were going to ask for more grain. Would they be arrested? Would they be taken and put in prison as well? Was this all a trick to bring the last one of them down into Egypt and to put them into prison? They didn't know it. But they too had to throw themselves upon the providence of God. You know, I'm sure as those brothers were walking down that road and all going together, the 10 of them heading down there to Egypt, I'm sure that they were anxious as they walked that. Because, you know, they were thinking about the previous time. They were thinking about Simeon was in prison. Well, what about them? They were perhaps discussing the strategy of how that they would handle going into the presence of this great ruler down in Egypt. You know what they found out, friend? These were the big men that once were in control of everything. Now they find out they're in control of nothing. And you know, that's a lesson for you and me as well. Because let me tell you, my friend, I don't know what this week holds. And I can tell you there may be circumstances that I have no control over, that I have to simply rest in God. I just have to trust Him with all my heart. I've got to lean not on mine own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, knowing that He shall direct my path. And they were going down to the splendor and to the power of Egypt, not knowing what the end game was, except for this. The end game wasn't in their hands. They were in the hands of somebody else. Now, you and I have got a great adversary against us. But thank God, don't be discouraged this morning. You're not in His hands. You are in the hand of God. And God is the sovereign, covenant-keeping God. And that's what they reckoned going down that road. Just as our father said, may the Lord give you, or God Almighty, give you mercy before the man. As He sent them away, so that they had to rely upon that covenant-keeping God to bring them through. Now that brings me to the next thing. And I see here the remorse. Because we find that Joseph is anticipating this meeting his brethren. Because it says there in verse number 16. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready. For these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. You know, Joseph eagerly anticipated this moment, for he hadn't seen the face of his brother Benjamin for over 22 years. This time, when the brothers came with Benjamin, we find that Joseph doesn't treat them harshly. There's a different treatment here. Because instead of that, he showed them kindness. And he was going to invite them into his house to dine with them. Now, in the culture of the ancient culture, the simple act of sharing a meal was something that was regarded as the height of social intimacy. And you know, this was important. They were going to eat bread with him. In actual fact, to eat bread with someone and for them to turn against you, it was the height of betrayal. Turn to the book of the Psalms, Psalm number 41. And in Psalm 41, in the verse number 9, it says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." It was a height of betrayal if you were to eat bread with somebody. And then you were to turn against them. It was regarded as betrayal because they were to share a meal together. In other words, sharing a meal meant something. It meant bringing them to greater closeness together. And that's what Joseph had designed. You know, the communion feast for the people of God, it is the feast which unites the family of God together. We are sharing together the communion feast. The word communion and the word communication actually come from the same Latin word, which means commonness. Commonness. And at the communion feast, we share our commonness in Christ. We are one in Christ Jesus. And that's what God's people do at the communion feast. We are gathering together as one people around the table, sharing that we are common in Christ. There's no difference between us, but we are all one in Jesus Christ. Now, of course, whenever they came to Joseph's house, they did not know they were coming to dine. It is true that he said to a servant, if you look in verse number 16, it says, "And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." Now, that was to the servant he said that. But they didn't know they were going to dine with him. What they did know, it says, the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. But you say, well, why were they so afraid? Why were they worried? Because, friend, they had guilt. This was, instead of rejoicing in an act of friendship, because they didn't know what this was all about. Do you know why? Because away in these days, the rulers, oft times to their house, they had a prison. They had prison. And of course, what these men thought was this. They feared that what would happen when they were brought to the house, then he would take them and he would charge them concerning the money that was in the sack. And then he would put them into prison and he would take away their asses. And now they would leave them that they couldn't get home and they would be imprisoned. And that's why they were afraid. But you know, the meal was something else. It wasn't a trap. The meal, once again, was another test that Joseph was putting the brothers through. It was going to be a test of their character. It was going to be a test of their integrity. Because, of course, they had little integrity or showed little integrity before. But Joseph is again putting them to another test. And so, the Bible says they were afraid. Verse number 18, the men were afraid. They thought it was a trap. They thought that he might seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen. Of course, imprison them and take away their asses. Verse 19, and they came near to the steward of Joseph's house and they communed with him. They decided to share their situation with Joseph's servant. And so they tell him, you know, look at verse 20. "Oh, sir, We came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and came to pass that when we came to the end that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of a sack, and our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand, and other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sack. You see, guilt. They felt guilt. They felt just exactly the fact that because of their guilty past. But you know, there was something else in those words. I believe there's a humility here. I honestly believe there's a contrition here. Once again, we're seeing a change in these hard men. God's changing them. Didn't happen all at once. But God's changing them. And let me tell you, that's what happens in the life of a believer. We die more and more onto sin. We live more and more onto righteousness. It just doesn't happen all at once. Yes, the work of grace happens in our hearts. We're gloriously saved. And we rest our redemption. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved. And it's a once for all salvation. But there is a sanctification was a process. A dying more and more. Our daily living. More and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men, they share their burden with the servant of Joseph's house. And I can tell you, there's no arrogance here. There's a humility here. Oh, sir. Imagine saying to the servant of Joseph, oh, sir. Oh, sir, we came indeed out. They're pleading. They're pleading their cause. There is a humility. There is a contrition here. That certainly wasn't a characteristic that was usual to these brethren. But notice what the reply was. Notice what the servant said. Verse 23. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sack. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. Friend, these were words of grace. You know, that must have been an amazing moment for these brothers. Because you know what the steward of this man down in Egypt used? He used shalom lachem. It was peace be unto you. Do you know what that was? That was the traditional Hebrew greeting. And here was a servant in Egypt. And that's how he greeted them. It was a declaration of peace. It was a declaration of security. And here is an Egyptian steward. And he's giving these Hebrew men, he's giving them a lesson about God's goodness. He says this, your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sack. And he says, fear not. You know what that proves to me, friend? Why would this Egyptian servant say, peace be to you? Fear not your God. I believe that Joseph had faithfully witnessed to his servant. Joseph had a witness in his own place where he was. He witnessed a good confession to the servant, and the servant was able to say, in the name of Joseph and in the name of God, he says, peace be unto you, fear not. He gave him a theological lesson about the goodness of God to the sons of Israel who had treated God and his covenant with so little regard. Sometimes you know what God does? God brings the most unusual people into our paths, and God surprises us by the things that they say. And you know, he says, fear not. Your God hath given you treasures. He turns your eyes to God. What a comfort, friend. And you see, when your back's against the wall and you're afraid and you don't know what the future holds, friend, where do you turn your eyes? You turn your eyes to the Lord. Get your eyes on him. So often, we're just like these men. Oh, sir, we go to the Egyptians. We go to the world and we ask the world help. And here's a rebuke. Here's a worldly Egyptian servant and he says, your God hath given you treasures. And the God of your father. He turned them back to the God of their fathers. And he talks about the attributes of the goodness and the grace of God. Do you know what he says to them? He says, I had your money. I had your money. He said, you know, what happened in that sack there? It wasn't an accident. It was an incident of providence. I had your money. I had it. Your money came to me. I received your money. He's acknowledging it clearly. But what he didn't say, who told him to put the money into the sacks? You see? Joseph wasn't to be revealed at this moment. This was not the moment of revelation. And here's a wise servant. Don't we need wisdom as we walk in this world? Don't we need wisdom to know what to say and how to say it and how to walk and how to live before the world? Here is a wise servant. And he says, I had your money. And he says, your God hath given you treasure in your sack. I want to tell you this morning, God has given us treasure in our sack. And we ought to thank him. Thank God he has given me treasure in my heart. He has given me eternal life, and I shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. It mightn't be a beautiful sack, but praise God, it's a treasure-filled sack. Child of God, get your eyes upon the goodness of God, even in difficult days. This was not an accident. He said, I had your treasure. I had it in my hand. I received it. But God put it in the sack. He didn't say Joseph. He didn't reveal that God used Joseph to put the money back in the sack. But what he did was this. He said, fear not. You have nothing to fear. And look at the end of verse 23. He brought Simeon out onto them. Thank God there was no charge laid against them in the matter of the money. And there was Simeon, and he brought him out. And then it says, verse 24, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And he gave them water and to wash their feet, and he gave their asses provender. My, this is the goodness of God in very practical things. He gave them water. That involved cleanliness. The water involved cleaning their feet. It involved refreshment. Because after a long journey, friend, to wash your feet, my, it gives you, it refreshes you. He gave them water. And he gave them water to wipe their feet, and then he gave their asses food. In other words, he treated them with hospitality. Somewhat different than they treated Joseph, wasn't it? And you know, God's people ought to be a hospitable people. Just keep your hand there. Go to the book of Romans chapter 12, just for a moment. Just let me give you these verses quickly. Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, in verse number 13, it says this, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. God's people ought to be hospitable people, given to hospitality. Turn to the book of Titus. And in Titus chapter number 1, and the verse number 8, it says this. It says, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. That's what the elders were. The bishop must be blameless, but he's to be a lover of hospitality. That's a mark of the child of God. And then you know what it says in verse 25? Whenever that happened and they got the feet washed and they got their asses provided for and they were there brought into Joseph's house and they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for then they heard that they should eat bread there. And very quickly, let me say there's a couple of other things I want to leave this morning. Not only the remorse, they were anxious, they were afraid. Remorse in their heart. But notice the restitution. Because when these brothers returned, they brought twice the money. And I want you to notice this. If these brothers' hearts were really changed, they wouldn't try to get off with what they could get off with. They couldn't try to get away with what they could get away with. No, they were living. If they were changed, they would have to live to a higher standard. And in this case, it was restitution. They brought the act of restoring, making amends. They brought the original money. And they brought it back. The money the fact that the money was in their sack gave the appearance of wrongdoing. And if they were to be honorable and their reputation was at stake, then they had to remove all misunderstanding. And that's why they brought the money back. Didn't say, well, listen, we got away with it. We didn't have to bring it back. Their father says, you restore the money. And I say to us as God's children, I say to myself, God's people ought to be careful about our reputation regarding our relationship with Christ. See, these men realized that if they were going to be accepted before Joseph, they had to be trustworthy. So have you and I. You and I have got to have that reputation before the world that we are trustworthy, not only in the sight of God, but in the sight of men. That's why I've got to be careful. And God's children, as you go out to live for the Lord this week, you have got to be careful how you live, because the world is watching you. And other of God's people are watching you. And you and I have got to be willing. It's not what can I get away with. I have to do that which is right. And it was right for them to bring the money back to Joseph. It was right. And God would honor them for it. God would honor them for it. And that brings me to the last thought. The reunion. Verse 26. When Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, into the house. And they bowed themselves to him to the earth. Now notice, friend, this was the present the father gave him. And I'm sure as these men were there, because notice the next question. He asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? I believe that these lads presented the present and said, you know, this is not only from us. But our father said, you're going down to the ruler in Egypt. Take this present, because it was the father's present. It was the father's present. And whenever he came in, notice what they did. They not only brought the present, they not only gave him the present, but they bowed themselves to the earth. And then go down to verse 28. And they answered, thy servant, our father is in good health, and he's yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Now that's interesting. Because notice they bowed down twice. And they did obeisance. Isn't that what the dream that Joseph had back in chapter 37 said? The 11 stars. The 11 stars bowed down before him and did obeisance. And that's what they objected to. They were rebellious. Who do you think you are that we are going to bow down to you? Let me tell you, they have no problem bowing down now, have they? Who are the 11 stars? The 11 brothers. You see, God's promise in the dream was filled exactly. God fulfills His promises. And God fulfills His purposes perfectly. They will be perfectly fulfilled. There were two dreams. And in each of the dreams, they bowed down before. In this passage of God's word, they bowed down twice. Friend, God makes no mistakes. God says, them that honor me, and Joseph honored the Lord in his life, God says, I will honor. And I want to tell you, Joseph, whenever they bow down before him and they give their present, he's not sitting there saying, boy, haven't I turned the tables on them boys. Look at them now. They're not the big boys anymore. They're bowing down to me. Not at all, friend. Let me tell you. You know what Joseph did? Look at verse 27. He asked them of their welfare. See, friend, let me tell you, life hadn't made him hard and life hadn't made him bitter. He had a heart of love about their welfare, about their peace, about their prosperity. Whether they were well after so long a journey, he was concerned about them. Have you a concern really for the family of God, friend? These 10 brothers, they hurt him. Benjamin didn't, but the brothers did. But he was concerned about their welfare. Did you have a good journey? That's the kind of a heart that I need as God's child. Heart that feels for others. About the welfare of others. Even those that hurt him. And then he said this. Is your father well? The old man of whom you speak. Is he yet alive? Why did he ask that, friend? I'll tell you why. Because you and I know that these brothers had left some time before. And there was a period of time in between before the brothers came back. And let me, time can make changes. Is your father alive? Is he well? You and I know that it only takes a little time to make changes in our lives. There's many a man has gone about his work in the morning well and strong, friend, listen, and just like that, his life changes. And Joseph was concerned. He didn't take it for granted. He says, what about the old man, your father? Of whom you speak. Is he yet alive? Shows you the love. The father that loved him dearly. Verse 28. And they answered, thy servant our father is in good health. He's yet alive. And then they bowed down their heads. And they did obeisance. He says, is this your brother? Is this Benjamin? Is this the youngest brother of whom you speak? He said, that's him. And here's this big man, ruler of Egypt. Know what he says? He says, God be gracious unto thee, my son. He's talking about God. God be gracious unto you, my son. You know, Joseph had a tender heart. For years he was surrounded by the Egyptians. He was surrounded by their idolatry. He had been surrounded by their ungodliness. But thank God he didn't conform. He had a heart of love. And then his emotions came in. Verse 30. And Joseph made haste, for his brows did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber. And he wept there. And he washed his face. And he went out and refrained himself. And he set on bread. And friends, let me tell you, here's the last thought. You know, something happened at that table. Rather, two things happened. Joseph sat by himself. He was the ruler. The Egyptians, they would not sit with anyone else because they looked upon themselves that they were descendants from the gods. In other words, they were superior to other races. And they had their superstition and their pride. And then at another table with the brothers. And Joseph says, set them down. And the Bible says this. And they sat before him, verse 33, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. Do you know why? Every brother was put in his proper place. There was the eldest, and he was put in his place. There was the youngest, and he was put in his place. There were no mixing of them, because Joseph knew every last one of them. And they marveled at it. They wondered at it. How did he do that? What else did he know about them? That he was able to put them in their age groups. And then he gave them one final test. He gave Benjamin 5 times as much as the rest of them. Now, it doesn't say that he ate 5 times as much, but he put on the table 5 times as much. Because, friends, let me tell you, that was a sign of special love. Would the brothers hate Benjamin the way they hated Joseph because his father had special love upon him? It's another test. And thank God they didn't. God had changed them. I pray that God will change our hearts and make us more like him.